folks. It's good to see you again. I saw the comments. I took the Auburn jacket off. My apologies for it was cold in here, so I had it on as we started. So I told you last week when we gathered that a friend of mine who's a pastor had polled his congregation and said, hey, if we have online worship, do you want to have a sermon that focuses 100% kind of on the coronavirus and the fear of the world and the anxiety that everyone's dealing with? Or do you want to just have another time of studying God's word and digging into other things and kind of continuing and growing our faith separate from that? And overwhelmingly, their church said, we just want to study and continue to grow as followers, and that'll help us in the world, but we don't need to spend all of our time talking about that. So today, we're going to finish what we've been doing. Over the last 5 weeks at Foley United Methodist, we've been in the midst of an incredible series. It's a series that has been based on this book called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. I know many of you have read it over the last few weeks. If you haven't, we're going to put a link here in the comments in just a second that you can click on. You've probably got some extra time on your hands right now, so I invite you to perhaps to consider reading it. But what we've been doing is we have been using this book as a frame to challenge us to learn how to pray. We believe that God wants us to have a deep, abiding relationship with Him. John just prayed on that a minute ago. And prayer is one of the ways that we get that. Over these last few weeks, and if you haven't been with us, you can go to our church website or our podcast site, and you can listen to some of the back sermons if you want to go back and understand that. We've been challenging people to pray. We've been challenging people to pray bold things. You heard John just pray some of those that were praying for the church. And we've seen incredible things happen. And just to kind of give you a real quick summary of kind of how this works, I want to tell you the story of Joshua 6. So Joshua 6 is this great Old Testament place where God wants to give his people, the Israelites, something that they haven't had before. He wants to give them the city of Jericho. He wants to help them conquer it. And he promises it to them. What we can see from this story in Joshua 6 is the truth about God is that God wants us to know and have things with him that we don't have. Olivia and the team sang just a few minutes ago that God is for us. And we began this series by thinking that God is one who wants us to know a deeper and more abiding relationship with us, with him, that he wants to give us more things, that he delights in us asking for things. And so God wants to give his people, the Israelites, something, but he invites them into a trusting action to get it. And in the story of Joshua 6, what he does, he says, I want you to circle this city 7 times. I want you to march around the city. And it's a kind of a crazy thing that the world looks at and says, why are they doing this? That's not the way you take a city. But in our day and age, what God wants us to do is he wants us to pray. He wants us to come into a relationship where we're trusting him, where we're asking things, where we're depending on him and not on ourselves. And so they go into it, and it becomes long and tough and hard, and there are places where they want to quit. It would have been easy after the first 2 or 3 circles around that city to go, God is not going to do this. This is ridiculous. I'm going to stop. And just like that, in our own lives, what we find is that when we begin to pray, it is really easy to quit. And that praying can be long and hard and tedious and boring, and that sometimes we don't see results or action. And so we just have to persevere. We have to stay at it. And so they circle that city 7 times in that story of Joshua 6. And then the very last thing we see is that God gives the answer. And we said last week that prayer isn't really ever about the answer. Prayer is about what happens in the process leading to that. But God gives them this incredible gift. He gives the city to them as they faithfully circle that city and proclaim God's goodness. And what we find in our lives is that as we continue to pray, as we continue to press in and ask God to do things, is that he does give us great gifts. But in the middle, as we've trusted, as we've persevered, as we've walked alongside with him, is that he does incredible things in us. And so long before we ever knew that coronavirus was going to be a thing in our world and that we were going to need to adapt our plans for the coronavirus, our goal for today had been to share some stories about people who have modeled this life of prayer, who have done exactly what we see in Joshua 6, who have done this in their own life, who have pressed into God and faithfully prayed over time, and they've seen God do incredible things in their lives and in their own soul. And so today we're going to do that anyway. And so I'm going to introduce to you right now two friends from the church. If you're a regular at Foley United Methodist Church, these are two people you know. Pam Yeager is our coordinator of our Wednesday night children's ministry, Trackers of Truth. She's going to make her way up here. And Jerry Shane is a member of our prayer team, and he's also on our church council here at Foley UMC. And they're going to come, and we're just going to have a little conversation about prayer and their lives and what's happened for them. So welcome, This is not what this looked like. We had originally thought that y'all would share your stories in all three of our worship services on this day, but I appreciate you being flexible as we try and social distance here and share our stories. So, Pam, I want to start with you, and I'm just going to invite you to tell your story. Just talk about what it's looked like for you to take on the habit of prayer, maybe where you were before you started, and then how you've seen God show up in your life as you've kind of been on this journey.
Okay. So my story is probably a little bit different because we were living in Illinois, and the church that we attended actually did Draw the Circle, which is by the same author as The Circle Maker. And before that, my prayer life was pretty perfunctory. It was very, I followed Acts. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. And I would pray and just say those things right in line. There was no real one-on-one relationship between me and God. And started reading the book. We did an all-church study of Draw the Circle, and it completely changed me. It was awkward at first to change my prayer life, but when I did, I saw things. I saw a relationship with God that I had never had before. I saw me wanting to come to God with smaller things and things that I felt maybe weren't as important to Him as they were to me, but that I realized that there's nothing too small for our God. And as I continued to pray, there was challenges. There were answered prayers, of course, but some of the challenges surprised me.
So let me ask you, only because I know some of your story.
Right.
So what did you circle? What were you, so you did this a similar study to this by the same guy.
Right.
They challenged you to circle something. You began to circle some things in your life. What did you circle and what happened?
One of the biggest things I circled was with my husband, Corey, and his relationship with God. He always believed. He was, not a non-believer by any means, but he did not have that faith and that relationship with God that I felt he could have. And I wanted to see that in him.
So you began to pray regularly and faithfully for Corey.
Yes, I did.
Wanting to see God do something in his life. And what happened?
Well, in the process of all this, we ended up moving from Illinois to here, which was another circling prayer to
right.
move here. And as many people in the church know, he has completely changed his life.
Wow.
It is, he's always been a good man. I've said this many times, he's always been a good man, and now he's a godly man.
And so how would you describe what's different in you now?
Well, I'll tell you, it was really strange for me to deal with this answered prayer. I was confident that this is what I wanted. I was praying boldly. You know, I had that degree of holy confidence that Mark Batterson talks about in the book. And I wanted this for Corey. I wanted it so much. And I found when he answered that, and Corey was getting more involved in the church, and he was taking the time to read his Bible and do small groups and things like that, that I became very jealous. Mm-hmm. It was a very hard emotion for me to have in regards to something that I had prayed for.
So it sounds like God began to challenge and work on you too.
Yes.
So he was answering the prayer, giving you what you wanted, but it also meant you were growing and being changed.
Absolutely.
Too. That's great. Let's pause for just a second. So Jerry, let's if you'll just kind of give us the 25,000 foot overview. Tell us your prayer story. It's different than Pam's, but God's
seemingly
works. Yeah,
because my prayer story is I had a private relationship with God. I would pray in the morning. I would pray in the evening, and through my day working, I would go about my business. I wouldn't see God around me.
Sure.
So what changed that was, is I joined a small groups, Kevin and Cheryl Fitzgerald, and, you know, the domino started. Then I was asked, got out of my comfort zone, and I was asked to be part of the prayer team at Foley United Methodist. And wow, I was like blown away. Can I do this, you know? The first couple of prayer sessions, it was very uncomfortable. I was a little afraid, but as time went by, I could feel God changing me spiritually inside. You know, I could feel the Holy Spirit leading me. And our prayer warriors, Marty, Donna, Michelle, and Rhonda, gosh, there's so much love in that room when we pray. And actually, we discussed this 2 weeks ago before all this stuff came about. It's been 2 years. Mm-hmm. 2 years. And the biggest thing is we get to pray for the congregation. We get to pray for our local government. We get to pray for you and John. And it has really, really changed my life. And now when I go through my day, I'll be riding down the road praying. I get to a red light, I'm praying. Mm. And it's just, it's changed my heart, you know. I'm thanking God more. Mm. And he's just filled my life.
So I think what I hear you saying is that as you began the habit, it was challenging, it was difficult,
scary.
It was awkward, it was scary, it stretched you. But what it's created in you is a greater awareness of God and a greater recognition of His presence at work in your life.
Yes. Each day I wake up and I look for God in my day. You know, it just, and I didn't do that before. You know, it's just amazing when we slow down, we see God is there. He's there.
I agree with him. I mean, what I noticed in changing my prayer life is that relationship with God that I didn't have before. It really developed into something that it was an all-day thing. It wasn't just getting up in the morning and saying a prayer or going to bed at night and saying a prayer. It was looking for him throughout my entire day. That's what I agree with.
And so one of the things that we've talked about in this series and that Batterson talks about and lots of other spiritual writers talk about is that prayer isn't so much about getting the answers. It's not about getting our agenda into God. It's about God getting his agenda into us. And, I mean, you talk about Corey. You know, you've seen some answers, and you've told me before that y'all pray for people to have jobs, you pray for all kinds of things,
yes.
And you've seen that, but I don't hear you really talking about that. What you're talking about is the way that God has stretched you and the way that you're much more aware of God's presence through that. Is that right? Can you say something about what that has been like for you?
It's just transformed me. I look at things a lot different now, you know. I look them through God's eyes, and, you know, he's training me, and I'm more comfortable talking to God. And it's just an amazing.
So if I was going to ask one more question, and you can start, I saw you were putting your microphone up. So if you were looking at the people who are watching this, folks in our church, maybe people who've never been to our church, that are just hearing this kind of story about, all right, here's some people who took on a habit of prayer. Why would you encourage someone to do what you did, to go through the awkwardness and the struggle and the uncomfort and even the, you know, the kind of recognition of stuff in your own life to grow? Why would you say that someone should do this?
Well, one, I just think that it's important for us to pray persistently and be devoted to that prayer life just to build that relationship with God. He wants us to be in an authentic, intimate relationship with him. He doesn't desire us to just pray those vague prayers. He wants all of us. And there's nothing that can separate us from how much he loves us. And I would want everyone to know that it doesn't matter how broken we are or how embarrassed we are of jealousy because he did answer a prayer. You know, he's still there. He's still for us. And prayer is our one-on-one line. Direct line to him.
Yeah. And I have to comment with Pam, it's my ultimate relationship with God, the intimate relationship with God.
So out of what you've been through, even in your own growth, I mean, it's out of love, and you're at a place where God is much more real and alive than you would have ever known before.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, that's incredible. So, you know, as we think about this, I want to thank Pam and Jerry, and I want to offer a challenge to those of you watching today, because this is an unprecedented season. We were talking before we started about how we've got so much more time at home. We're, you know, sitting around, we're trying to be real cautious and those kind of things. And so I wonder what would happen. I mean, you hear Jerry and Pam's stories. If in your own life you said, I have some time, I could begin a habit of praying. Maybe you haven't done the 21 days of prayer that we've been doing here at the church, but you can start today. Maybe for the next month, you want to pick one thing and pray faithfully for it. And I wonder what you might say someday when you tell a story about how God changed you. Maybe God gives you an answer to a prayer. Maybe he changes someone's life or moves you to another state, or you know, you get to be a part of a prayer team where you see lots of answers to prayer. But I wonder what God might want to do in your own life. And so as we kind of wrap this whole prayer series up and thinking about prayer over these last few weeks, I want to invite you, especially in the midst of what our world is going through, to really take on that habit of prayer, because I really do believe God is for us. And he wants good things for us. And he wants a deeper and a more abiding relationship with us. And he'll invite us into that through the awkwardness and struggle of prayer. But when we come out on the other side, what he has for us is better than anything we could have ever gotten on our own. So, Jerry and Pam, thank you. I want to say a prayer for us, and then our worship team's going to come back as we begin to finish our time of worship together. And Lord, we give you thanks for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the stories, both in Pam's life and in Jerry's life, and the way that we are aware of the way you've worked in their hearts. And God, we ask that in this season that we're in the world, that you might use these days that we have to slow down, these days that we have at home, to teach us to pray. Lord, may the taste of what we've heard in Pam and Jerry's life be but a taste of what you want to do in all of our lives. And Lord, we pray that through prayer you might draw us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you, that we might know you, that we might bear great fruit, and that you might be glorified through all we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.